and welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Monday, June 28th, or July 28th. Boy, I wish it was back in June. We'd have a little more summer left. We're winding down the month of July and August right around the corner later on this week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, who is on the road again. And welcome, Bridget. Where are you at today?
I am in Mount Sterling, Illinois. I have been down here with Kerr Auction Service. Today was a retirement auction. They also are doing a preview of their online consignment tool sale. And I saw some of the tools this morning. If you are looking for Milwaukee, DeWalt, primarily those two, but basically anything for your shop, you're going to want to go to Kerr Auction and check them out because they have a lot of things available for you. Also tomorrow is their summer consignment sale. That will be an online sale and an in-person, so you can be checking that out. And tonight they have a supper for us, and Ty Morgan, who is the host of U.S. Farm Report, will be speaking. I will be speaking as well, and we will be joined by Greg Peterson, also known as Machine Repeat, in the secondary auction market for equipment. So big lineup tonight, lots of fun. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you stop by. Or if you want to do some bidding, again, you can do that online. You can download the Kerr Auction app as well. And then tomorrow afternoon, I will head to South Dakota for Ag PhD Field Day. That'll be on Thursday. Wednesday will be set up and some other preliminary work that I need to be doing up there. But again, hopefully many of you are coming down to South Dakota. In fact, every time I get on the interstate at Gardner, there's a great big sign right there that tells me how many miles it is to get to Baltic. Maybe some of you are going to be headed that direction as well. So tell me it's going to be cooler, because right now, Dean, I spent the entire morning outside in Illinois, and
It's
unattractive. I packed a lot of extra shirts for today.
There's a lot of corn sweat down there, that's for sure. Oh,
I skipped the corn sweat. It's just hot and humid. I mean, just, you can have this without the corn.
Yeah, it will be. It will. The humidity will be a little more tolerable by the end of the week for Hefty down in Baltic. Okay. So that's good news there. Still warm, but not as bad as they've got it down there right now. And in fact, we do have some a pretty good chance for another derecho event. And this lines up almost perfectly with the LRC and how we said the very end of July into early August, we're going back into that stormy part of the LRC cycle. And that's where we're at right now. Now, the good news is, at least here in the FM area, it looks like any derecho or any severe weather event is going to stay to our south into South Dakota and into southern Minnesota. So if you have any travel plans going that way over the next 12 to 24 hours, you're going to run into some trouble down there. But for our area, we're looking at just partly cloudy skies the rest of the day. There are some showers on radar right now just to the east of Carrington, up into the far northern valley. Also some showers stretching from about just north of DL down through Gwinner. Those are scattered, but we will see a few scattered showers throughout the day here in the FM area, at least for the next few hours before we'll see a little more sunshine, I think, by the time we head late afternoon. Low to mid-80s today with a northeast wind about 10 to 20, partly cloudy. Any storms tonight from Lakes Country southward? And again, those could be on the severe side. We'll keep an eye on that with lows around 60. And then Tuesday, partly cloudy, a few thunder showers late in the day with highs around 80. Then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, dry conditions, plenty of sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. And that will translate to 80s down into southern South Dakota for later this week, Bridget. So all in all, not a bad looking forecast. Again, this severe weather outbreak tonight could be a big derecho event. That's not a guarantee, but a lot of the ingredients are there for that, and that means widespread wind damage over the next, let's say from late evening through about 2, 3 in the morning, it looks like.
Well, and I heard you say, you know, in our area, I don't think we can use that phrase anymore. And here's the reason why. We are TV. We're also being live streamed on YouTube under WDAY's Southern Ag and Focus. And the group is anywhere from folks in Co. to New Jersey, up into the provinces of Saskatchewan and Manitoba. And because of that, that is our area now. So we're getting covered by a lot of different places with people asking questions. We know that Velva, North Dakota had some very high winds on Saturday night. They saw a lot of tree damage as well. And also the state fair, folks who were camping in tents said that wasn't easy. In fact, some of those tents are now gone. And last night, Watertown, South Dakota, I talked to some farmers in that neck of the woods, and Watertown again saw quite a bit of damage in localized areas. They don't want to have to see that again. Anytime you get the storm chasers congregating, that's, we don't need that. Yeah. That just spells bad news.
You don't you don't want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, our area is definitely bigger than you think now.
Yeah, and South Dakota really took it hard over the weekend. And like you said, just south of Minot got hit over the weekend. Far northern valley into Grand Forks area got hit over the weekend. And, you know, again, tonight looks like South Dakota into Minnesota. Those are the target areas for later tonight. And again, you know, for our ag friends down to our south, you know, they don't want to see that either. Last thing you want is, you know, you're getting the corn at, you know, just starting to tassel in some areas, and you don't want that knocked down, obviously.
So last night, as I was driving east to Mount Sterling, Illinois, I had lightning to the north of me and lightning to the south. I felt like I just managed to come right in between all of those big storms that were down here. And that's probably going to be continuing for, well, you know, as you mentioned, the next few weeks. Now, for those of you who are listening and have storm damage to report, we'd love to hear from you, and you can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. While you're at it, you can send emails to weather or ag at flagfamily.com. And if you're following on those live streams, YouTube, Facebook, as well as Acres TV, you can also be leaving us your bushels guesses. I've been getting more of those in for our Here We Grow project. Let me know what you think we're going to be getting for wheat bushels on our yield. I appreciate all those guesses that have come in, because we'll be giving away one of our Darter Plastics rain gauges, as well as a $100 gas card to those who are playing along. And if you even want to drive by the field, you can just snap the QR code on our sign to be registered to win. So very much looking forward to having more of those guesses come into me. And it won't be long until we're combining. I suspect by the time I get home, we'll be having a conversation with our farmers.
Already, man. That means summer's flying by too fast. That's what that means.
Oh, wheat harvest always comes early. That's what it looks like. And I saw a lot of combines on the auction this morning. So if anybody's in need of another combine, let me know. I think I found a couple. I can help you out.
Will they ship it? Yeah. Will they ship it? That's the question.
They will arrange transportation, and I can tell you I am not bringing them home in my pickup.
Okay.
So that's just
might be a tight fit.
I did not buy a trailer. I can't haul a combine. Sorry, there's weight limits on a half ton. That's just how it is. Now, I did have a listener question over the weekend, and that was in regards to President Trump's discussion about a new exports market for beef from America to Australia. And he said, oh, this is going to be huge, et cetera. Well, in time, it will be huge. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, Australia is just opening those markets up. And so we have to establish shipping, et cetera, and the orders have to be placed. But then also in Australia, as a culture, they have typically been consuming grass-fed beef. Good for them. But a lot of our finished beef is going to be corn-fed. There may be a slight difference in taste. And as cultural shifts tend to do, they'll take a little bit of time until the Australians start to request the U.S. beef. But it will give us a little time to rebuild our herds, because right now we still have very low numbers in the U.S. herd. We're producing an efficient amount of beef per animal, but we do want to see more animals come into our pastures and graze and get ready for processing. So it's going to take us a little bit of time to build those herd numbers back up. Those things are going to coincide probably in a year or two, but it is nice to know that we do have an agreement with Australia. More are coming. I know that there was some discussion about the UK earlier this morning as well. So we'll wait and see what happens with those. But sometimes you got to sort out what's happening versus just the overall excitement of, yay, this is going to happen right this minute. Hold on. It's going to take just a little bit of time, but it will be a positive for us. That I can say.
Good deal. Good deal. And that gives more chance for, like, all soggers, you know, maybe you know, they're all grass-fed, and maybe we can expand that a little bit and ship over some local products. That'd be nice.
That'd be nice if we're shipping some local product. If he's got an opportunity to fill a shipping container and send beef, that would be amazing. But I think right now we're going to see a lot of things happening with our packers and so forth. And also, there are different cuts that the Australians prefer over what we might be eating here. So that also helps find a different market for some of the things that we don't necessarily consume right here in the United States.
Just what cuts are their favorite, Bridget? Do you know offhand? Or?
They do like the, you know, the steaks and so forth as well, but there are some areas especially for cultural reasons, they still like tongue and oxtail or some of the offal that we don't always consume here in the States. So there's a variety of cultures around the world where that's more readily available for them. And because we don't consume it here in the U.S., we're always looking for an output market for that.
Gotcha.
Well, we will be joined today by a couple of interns. It's kind of a version of what did you do this summer? We'll hear from Carson Drum and Leah Moore. They spent their summer working for My Ag Data, and it's always fun to hear from the youth and what they have been up to and the decisions that they're making as they go forward, whether it's in ag or other places. After we pick up the news from the American Ag Network with the livestock markets, we'll be back to talk to some summer interns in what did you do this summer? Things should run smoothly at your farm no matter what's happening with the weather, but especially whatever might be happening with your internet. So make sure to check out the fence check assessment with Tech Support Farm. He wants to make sure that things are moving smoothly for your farm and you aren't running into any incidents where someone might be swiping your information. Again, that is with the Tech Support Farm. Chris Sherman can help you out. Tom, I do want to give you a little bit of a shout out here. He sent a message to us in reference to my half-ton pickup pulling a combine, and he said, half-tons can tow and haul way more weight, especially on county roads versus regular roads, as well as on weekends versus weekdays, also maybe at night. So thanks, Tom. I'll try to keep it legal today. I do still have a commercial driver's license. I appreciate his encouragement. So speaking of encouragement, we have a couple of students that spent their summer working for My Ag Data, and I love to hear what students are up to and what their future plans might be. So I welcome Carson Drum and Leah Moore. So to both of you, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves, give a little background on where you're going to school, where you're from, etc., and I'll have Carson go first to do that, please.
Yeah. Hi. I'm from Prior Lake, Minnesota, just a little bit south of the Twin Cities, and went to Prior Lake High School there, graduated in 2023. So now I'm attending school in Fargo at North Dakota State. It's going to be my junior year this year, and I'm studying business administration.
Excellent. All right. So how about you, Leah? What's going on in your world?
Yeah, I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. I grew up there, you know, went to high school there, and then for college, I am currently in the University of Kentucky. I am a senior, and I have one semester left, so I graduate in December.
Woohoo!
I don't know about you, but my senior, I just started as a sophomore, so how are you holding it together, Leah?
I'm excited. I, you know, just trying to finish out strong, trying to keep my grades up. So
she has far more motivation than we did, Dean.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, definitely. No doubt about it. Well, guys, this goes out to both of you, Carson and Leah. For those that don't know what My Ag Data is, explain briefly what it is and what you both have been doing with that. Carson, if you want to go first.
Sure. So My Ag Data, we're an electronic acreage reporting software company. We have two main services that we provide. One is our self-service, and we kind of compare that to like tax reporting, TurboTax. And so we say that our self-service is like the TurboTax of acreage reporting. And then our managed services is our other service we provide. And we compare that more to H&R Block. And I'd say the main benefits you have there are you're saving a lot of time. We find that you end up saving money on your crop insurance premiums. You get a boosted actual production history, so you'll be covered for more. And then you have a reduced audit risk because you're submitting one report to both your crop insurance agents and the FSA all at once.
Excellent, excellent. And Leah, tossing it to you, what's the biggest thing you've taken or that you've learned while you've been interning with MyAgData?
Yeah, I feel like that's a very encompassing question, for lack of a better term. I've learned a lot. I didn't really grow up around agriculture, so I feel like everything that I learn is something new. I feel like this has been a lot of learning about crops. I feel like learning to work with people in the ag industry, which is something very new. I've worked with people before, but I feel like it's kind of different when it's in a different industry. I've learned a lot of, working with data. I've learned, we've said that we're like cartographers kind of with how much we work with maps and stuff. So I've learned a lot, a little bit of everything.
Good. Good deal.
So when you think about what you were doing though this summer, Leah, can you describe what some of your job duties were for MyAgData?
There was a number of things that we could do. We did a little bit of reaching out to farmers who registered with us. We did a little bit of managing the data itself. Sometimes data comes over messy. So we, like, especially with the managed services that we offer, I've done a lot of cleaning up data, making sure all the information is there so that when we're ready to finally submit it, everything is the way that it should be, share it with shareholders and all that. Reaching out to the FSA is also a task that a lot of us have, but we kind of all do a little bit of everything. So, yeah.
So was your task very similar when you were doing your summer work, Carson?
Yeah, it was a lot of the same things. I actually started at MyAgData last September, and so I've been working part-time throughout the school year. And then that is when I met Leah and the rest of the interns. So during that time, I learned a lot about doing outreach to other people and selling. So I did a lot of outreach to crop insurance agents about our managed services there. And so I thought that was a really valuable experience that I got there and I found really interesting.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions. And after we touch on the bottom of the hour news, I'm sure Dean has more as well, such as, how did you guys find out about these internships? And what are some of the internships you've done otherwise? And future plans, as well as what crops you were working with. So we're going to ask those questions and more. One of the things we like to do here is make sure that folks are well aware of what's in the future of ag, students, jobs, and so much more. And we're going to touch on that with our interns from MyAgData when we return. Our wheat is coming along and harvest will be here before you know it. And we appreciate the help of Mark Wagner over at ND Estate Services. He helped to make sure that the process is simple when it comes to probate, protecting guardianship, saving taxes, and more. Contact Mark at ndestateservices.com. And then also Thor Buildings. I'm very much looking forward to going out to do one of our Here We Grow videos for our project with Thor Buildings, because they're working on a farm shop in the area. I want to see the post-frame construction in action as this building is taking shape, and then we can share that story with all of you who are watching and following along. Speaking of that, you can be following along today as we visit with a couple of interns from MyAgData, Carson Drum and Leah Moore. And I wanted to ask one quick question, and that is, how'd y'all find your internships? Because, Leah, if you're at UK and you're working with MyAgData, I'm not sure that always sounds like it's something that kind of fits together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I found it. Well, that's a great question. I think I found it through Handshake. It kind of just popped up one day, and I applied. It sounded interesting. It checked a lot of boxes for me. So, yeah.
Carson, how about you? Was there someone recruiting for you?
Not necessarily. I guess I should say, yeah, it is. My sister has friends on her sports team, and her brother that my sister is friends with works actually at MyAgData. He was an intern there, now he works there full time. And, you know, our parents, they reached out to each other and kind of just told me about what they do. And I was really interested in it. And I thought this is kind of a, sounds like a cool place to work at, especially being a startup. And, so that made me want to apply there. And yeah, it's kind of how it happened.
And Leah, a question for you. So you don't have any ag background at all, or you didn't before before doing the My Ag Data internship. What, with no ag background, what made you choose that for an internship?
Well, my major is agricultural economics, and I'll be honest, I ended up in the major kind of on a whim, I'll say. I been a civil engineering major before, and it kind of wasn't working out for me anymore. So I just kind of needed something that was, you know, going to give me, you know, somewhere where I could learn a lot of new things. And so I ended up here. I fell in love with it, very quickly. I feel like I fit well into it. So yeah. And I'm here.
Great.
There's a lot of practical business experience that can be put to use after doing internships. And I'm just curious, have either one of you had internships prior to working for My Ag Data?
No, I didn't. I had customer service jobs, but no prior internship.
Okay. Leah, you're getting ready to graduate. No prior internships?
Nope. This is my first one. First one I've done.
Okay. As an employer, in my head, I'm just thinking, what have y'all been waiting for? Come on now. But I can say, Carson, I know because you're closest, Leah, I can't offer this to you, but we do a one-day internship with students here at WDAY where I have you come on as my assistant ag director. Leah, unless I can get you here from UK, it's not quite as smooth, but maybe Carson, I can have you come in for a day and you can do just what we're doing right now, interview guests and ask questions and talk about our headlines. So you guys, you never know when the most unique opportunities might present themselves. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds super fun.
Okay, so where's everybody going after this? Carson, you know, what are your next steps? You're not quite done with school yet, but what do you think you might be doing when you are?
Yeah, so I've got 2 years left of college. Outside of that, that's kind of a good question. I'd like to say I'm keeping my options open, and I think getting a variety of experiences is something that I kind of value right now. And so just kind of putting myself out there and trying as many things as I can is the main thing I want to do. And I don't really have, I guess, set plans, I should say, for what I plan to do.
There's still time. Leah, pressure's on.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. You know, I've been looking. But I really know I want to do something in ag at this point. I definitely want to stay within that. I can't say I have anything specific yet, but we're getting there.
Okay. And when you think about what you were doing this summer and your tasks and so forth, it's easy to say we worked with corn and soybeans. Did anybody work with something outside of just corn and soybeans when you were doing some of the reporting for My Ag Data?
Yeah. I know we had a few other things. I'm trying to think in my head right now. We did work with sorghum. We worked with many things. Tobacco, I know, was one of them that I worked with at one point. Carson, I might have some other ones. Like my brain is going blank, but yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I think there's a ton.
Okay.
Yeah, sugar beets, wheat, you know, mixed forage, grass, fallow, so many more crops too. That's kind of hard to remember them all, but. Yeah, we had a lot more than just corn and soybeans, that's for sure. Oats as well. And
what you're saying is when using My Ag Data, it doesn't matter exactly what you raise. You can pretty much have anything that can be reported through the system, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
did either one of you work with an FSA office that you were calling directly on folks at the office to try to increase their familiarity with my egg data? Carson's nodding yes. This is remember, I need more audio, you two.
Yes. Sorry, yes. Yeah, I did work with an FSA office a little bit. We, you know, the process is kind of like sending them training so that they kind of understand the way it's going to work, because, you know, this it's something that's pretty new. So they do have their own training that they go through, so that it's a lot easier for them. But yeah, I've worked with them a little bit, not a whole lot, but definitely some.
Okay. Carson, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it took me a second here to think about an answer to that. Yeah, so at the end of when we submit our reports and we submit the maps to the FSA, what we'll usually do is reach out to them, these FSA offices, make sure they have everything they need, just confirm that the report's been submitted. And then we also go back to them for feedback, look at how we can streamline the process, you know, make it better even, as much as we can. And so we had a lot of emails back and forth, if not calls, with them. Yeah, just getting feedback and report confirmations.
So last question for y'all, and that is, what's your advice to farmers if they're on the fence about whether or not they should have my egg data to be able to do their reporting for both FSA and their crop insurance? What would you tell them? So, Leah, what would be your advice to a farmer to get them to move forward with using that process?
I know that something that a lot of people are skeptical about is, you know, just first of all, what are the benefits and like how, you know, they're giving us their data basically for us to use to help them. And a lot of people are skeptical about that, which is totally fair. And I would say we do everything in our power to keep your data secure. And I feel like that's not really something you have to worry about. We take that very seriously. As we are, you know, working with government agencies. So I think that that's something that I would say to like kind of ease someone's worries. Also, it saves you money, saves you time. It's convenient. Takes a lot off your plate. So yeah.
Excellent. Carson, any last thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Leah said. And especially, yeah, if you're already paying for your OEM platform that you're using to record your acres, you might as well make that work for you, right? And it makes the process even easier. And we find that a lot of the time with the money you spend to use our service, you either make most of it back. And obviously it's case by case, but some people, you know, end up making money on their crop insurance premiums and how much they save there. So yeah, I see it as a win either way.
Well, congratulations on a successful summer. I think you both had a lot going on and much appreciated that you took the time to join us today to talk about it. And folks, I'm going to surprise Dean a little bit. I have some questions when we return, because we talk about John Deere tractors, and it's rather fortuitous. I'm at a farm auction today where we're selling a couple of John Deeres, but John Deere was among the first in a lot of designs, so we're going to talk about just a couple of those when we return. So stay tuned for some fun facts on John Deere.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:51 in the afternoon. Temperatures out there in the 70s, and we've got a few light showers on radar scattered from Lakes Country into far southern parts of the valley, and also a few showers on radar right now just north of Carrington, stretching up into the far northern valley, northwest Minnesota. Now, we're looking at a big severe weather outbreak expected tonight, but this looks like it's going to stay down in South Dakota and into Minnesota. That's the way it appears right now. That's good news for our area, at least in the FM area, but not good news for our ag community down south, that's for sure. We'll reach out in the low to mid-80s today, as we'll see a little more sunshine as we head into the afternoon, later this afternoon, with northeast winds 10 to 20. Any isolated storms tonight, Lakes Country and south will move further south and east with lows around 60. And Tuesday, partly cloudy. Chance for a few late-day showers or thunder showers with highs around 80, and then we're in the 70s with less humidity for the rest of the week. And this weather update is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists.
So, Dean, I found some fun facts about John Deere today.
All right.
I'm a bit of a bit of a John Deere fan, although I never thought at this point in my life I'd become kind of an equipment junkie, but I sort of am. Like, I like the fascinating stories about Babcat and Versatile and Steiger and how they all originated from this region, et cetera. Do we have enough rain gauges to make a rain gauge giveaway today for trivia?
I'm sure we do.
What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, so let's turn one of these fun facts into a trivia question. And we'll take callers on the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Now, John Deere was the first to bring out a garden tractor. This is the facts that I have that have been researched. These came from Successful Farming. First garden tractor was the Model 110. I need someone to call us and tell us what year it was. So, you guys, I'm sending you the answer so that you and Addison can see it, and then you guys can take phone calls because, I mean, I can't. I'm in Illinois. I'm just kind of sitting here. So.
So what was the question again, Bridget? What year was the Model 1?
110.
110.
That was the first garden tractor. What was the year that that came out?
701-293-9000 to win one of our Darter plastic rain gauges. And these are the official rain gauges that you that the National Weather Service likes you to use for accurate rainfall totals.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah, and
I'd be curious.
Yeah. I see the answer here on our messaging system. That's a little before my time and your time.
It is. But you know, I think what's gonna surprise people is when it happened, because we all think that garden tractors have been around forever. Not as early as you might think. Now, John Deere did some other things that were pretty surprising. They were the first with a three-point hitch. That was on the Model 40 in 1953. First four-wheel drive tractor models for them in 1960 were the 8010 and the 8020. They had the first John Deere tractor with a diesel engine and factory cab, and that was the Model R, introduced in 1949. So we went to factory cabs in 1949. Something that not everyone would be looking for either. Hmm. All right. So do we have any guessers yet?
I'm nothing.
Surprised. Nobody
knows. No. Is it difficult?
Can I guess?
Maybe. And
Addison. No, you can't guess. You got the answer sitting in front of you.
Who said I looked at it? Yeah, I don't read my work emails. I don't read our Slack channel. I don't want to set that kind of precedent for my
All right. Now, all right. We've got a caller on line one. Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Can I get your name and your guess?
Hey, this is Dave. I'm going to guess early 60s, 63.
Oh, wow. Well,
that's a great guess.
That's
Dave.
A heck of a guess. And that is a winner. So congratulations.
Yes. Well, thank you.
All right, Dave. And go ahead, Bridget.
Dave, did you ever have or drive a Model 110 John Deere garden tractor?
I did have one, but I wasn't sure of the year, but I did have one.
I've got some hours on one myself, so congratulations for winning one of our rain gauges.
Congrats, Dave. And Dave, you know where our studio is, right?
I do.
Okay, just swing by and we'll have that waiting for you at the front desk. Congratulations. And only thing we ask is when you get rainfall, if you can email us, let us know what your totals were. That would be fantastic.
I can try.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
All righty.
Bye.
Well, that was a heck of a guess, Bridget. Early 60s. Yeah, all right. Narrow it down.
It was. And there's so many things. John Deere has always been very progressive in its design. But surprisingly, they have not always been a tractor company. In fact, they started out as an implement company. And frankly, for them, they were not going to get into tractors until there was kind of a gentleman's agreement that they weren't going to do tractors while International Harvester was going to stay out of some of the implements. Well, somebody blinked first, and now everybody is into olive tractors and so forth. And John Deere also was the first tractors to come out equipped with rubber tracks. That was on the 8000 series in 1997. They also came out with the first tractor with a factory installed turbocharger. That was on the 4520 in 1969. Now, if I have any of these wrong, I'm sure some of you are going to start sending me emails to dispute them, but I'm just going with the things that I know based on what I have learned about John Deere. And I would love to be able to highlight more facts when it comes to, like, Case, International Harvester, but I don't get those as readily as I get John Deere. For some of you out there who are collectors and have these documented facts, send them to me. I would love to highlight those tractors as well. And again, you can send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. One of the other things that's happening now is the fact that our labor market is reaching a critical turning point that could tighten the labor availability in our rural areas. We are looking at the fact that we have low labor participation, birth rates have declined, our immigration policy is more restrictive. How is that going to affect us in the rural areas? Farms, food processors, equipment dealers, and cooperatives are all having a struggle finding people to take on some of those jobs, especially for the seasonal labor. And frankly, as much as we like to think that AI and robotics can do it all, there's some jobs that are just not fit for that, such as we think about processing, and we were talking about beef earlier. After mid-June, when I got to tour the Demcota plant in Aberdeen, South Dakota, that is not a job that you can just set up on an assembly line to have robots do the processing, because every beef that comes through, the halves are all slightly varied. The animals don't weigh exactly the same. The breeds can, you know, certainly have a little difference in their carcass sizing and so forth. And so that's where it really comes into needing people on the job to be able to do those hands-on opportunities. So we aren't going to see a change in this very soon, that we're going to all of a sudden have a great influx of people. So we're going to have to keep that in mind, that we will need to look at more H-2A visas and so much more to keep processing moving forward.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. For Bridget and myself, we'll see you tomorrow. But don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.